CliffCentral.com.
Everybody, it's Monday. Time to take on a brand new week. See what we can do, huh? What do you think?
I'm up for that.
Up for it? Yep. Are you feeling strong and invigorated? Did you have a good weekend? See, it just laughs. That's never a good sign. All right. Good morning. Let's get started. Hey, Mubs.
Hello.
Okay, so first of all, we have to deal with a very visual element of the show this morning, but it's something that we will no doubt have pictures up all over the internet in the next couple of minutes of Sia with an incredible, somewhat alarming hair change.
Just a minor little...
It's not minor. It's major. So Sia sent this picture to us on Saturday.
Yeah.
On our little group for the show, and he said, I'm doing a Year of Yes thing. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was under some kind of...
the salon...
Yeah, those things that you sit under.
Hair right. Dryer situation.
Oh, that's you mean a hair dryer?
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Is that what it is?
Because I was like, is it a heater? Is it a... What is it called? That thing. Because, you know, I've never had to go under one of those
sure.
every time I'm at the salon.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, we all thought, oh, well, maybe he's just... You know, maybe he's got a new haircut, or this is what I thought anyway. Maybe he'll go for a little bit of a color change.
Really? Like a haircut under the hair dryer?
I don't know. I don't know what you do.
Yeah.
So he arrives this morning, or I arrive this morning. I walk in and there's a pumpkin head lesbian standing at the controls of the desk. And I go, huh?
A lot to take in all at once. It's a lot. Well, no. So the last time I was at the hair salon, and I'd got my hair shaved, and I was talking to my barber, and we were discussing, you know, I want to do something wild. And she reminded me of this when I was back there on Saturday, and I was just like, okay, you know what? Yeah, if you think about this longer, you won't do it. So I was just like, screw it, let's do it. And here we go. We now have this like goldeny, blondie, Tony situation. Let's see how far this goes.
Well, there we are.
I'm rolling with it now.
It looks good. I actually like it, and I think I could. It's very individual. Like this, certainly,
there's nothing quiet or subtle about this look at all.
No, you have to be brave to carry off something like this.
Yeah,
I'm not brave. Could never do that.
Yeah, you've got to be confident.
I was talking to one of my girlfriends over the weekend, and she said to me that she wants to change her hair dramatically as well. Like, go blonde, and she's dark. And, you know, it's a major decision.
It is.
And it really does change the way people respond to you.
But at the same time, it's such a liberating decision because, you know, it's not about hair. And that's the thing. It's never been about, oh, just coloring your hair. It's
about
the fact that you can make a decision and you can just let go when you don't have attachments to it and you don't define yourself by the way that you look, for example. Not to get philosophical at 6:11 on a Monday morning.
I think you're right.
But, you know, yeah. Now, as soon as I did that, and, you know, every time, though, I catch my reflection, it's like, wait, who's that now? Like, what's going on?
You're actually looking at a different person in the mirror.
Oh, totally.
But I like it. It's good. You know, sometimes they don't get the color right. This is actually quite rich.
It's still going to fade as well.
Yeah,
so it's going to get lighter. But I'm thinking maybe I should go strawberry blonde next time.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Well, in for a penny, in for a pound.
You've taken that first leap.
Exactly.
So from this point onwards, really, any color will do. It's going to be like, fine, let's do the blue.
Oh, we're going to do every color of the rainbow now. We've created a monster.
So Mabali over the weekend was her usual hardcore self, because when Sia posted this and said, ooh, Year of Yes, I said, uh-oh. And then she replied with like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You've all come out of your mother's vagina or something. You were very, I don't know where you were.
Typical
or who you
Mabali
were with.
Though.
Yeah, she was like, Oh, come on. There's nothing. You all came out of a vagina. Harden the fuck up.
Yeah.
So I go, wow, hardcore my belly. She goes, as always.
I mean, as I understood it, you know, you were making a big fuss about being in this hairdryer. And yes. I was like, but your head has been in all sorts of other places.
Technically, mine has not, as we discussed yes. and discovered. Thank
right.
you.
You yeah. are a C-section baby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then that a lot of people these days are. Do you draw a distinction? Is there any kind of difference between people who are?
I don't think
the sunroof option.
I don't think that is that really like a conversation starter. Hi, I'm Mavali. Oh, by the way,
I'm a natural birth. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Oh.
Are you a natural birth? Oh no, I'm a C-section. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind people like you.
Mm,
they're okay.
We'll accept you for who you are. It's fine.
How was your weekend?
I don't know where to start after the whole coloring thing, though. What else did I get up to
this
weekend?
Did you go out and celebrate your new hair?
Well, I did, actually.
Better believe it.
After that, I literally spent a good 90 minutes trying to find an outfit that works with the hair now as well. Because it was funny, we hit... Please don't roll your eyes at my body.
I didn't.
Thank you. These are important decisions to make.
Right.
So, my friends and I had a party. And the funny thing is, we're now at that age where it's a very tricky situation where we're still young, but at the same time, we're over, you know, being like young and losing your heads type of thing. So my friend now sends out.
I wish you'd been there to give me words of wisdom on Friday. Oh,
were you debaucherous?
Yeah. Oh my God.
She sent out the invitations for the Saturday party. And the funny thing was she said, dress code. Warm. And I'm like, yes, this is it.
Yeah.
It's not like dress code superhero, whatever the case. As long as you're warm, you're fine. That's how sad it was. But yeah, we had this house party and the back of my head when I was there, I was like, you know, everything that I'm now drinking, Amanda would be proud of.
Oh, really? Mm. Huh. What did you have? Amanda, give a rating.
Concoctions of everything to the point where there was spiked hot chocolate available. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So because
has Bill Cosby?
No.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Have a hot chocolate. Pay no attention to the funny smell.
Yeah, because it's cold, there was like hot chocolate available. But it was dashed with like amarula. So it's the sweetness, but also it's the liquor. And there was some guy trying to be very fanciful. And supposedly the ethanol and alcohol rises even more in heat or something like that.
Yeah,
so even in small doses, this thing takes you high in 2.3 seconds. So, you know, we had a lot of those and somehow we all passed out by like 3 in the morning. Yeah, it was a massive, massive mess.
Wow. That sounds good.
I regretted it the whole of Sunday.
I was going to have a very chilled night. I was going to meet some friends at Rockets for a couple of drinks, and that was how it started.
And it's never how it ends.
I had to pay a 600 rand car trip cab drive back home because I couldn't get an Uber for some reason. And I only got home. I got home at 6 a.m. It was revolting.
Yes.
You got home at 6?
Look at Amanda and her. Look at how proud she is.
That was bad. So the whole of Saturday and Sunday, I was feeling very sorry for myself and did as little as possible, which was nice because actually you kind of get it out of your system. And you need, every couple of months, you need to have one of those big.
Like Britney Spears 2007 type of night out.
Break the place open nights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went to about 4 or 5 different places through the course of the evening and each one got worse and worse and it was just revolting. Mm. I mean, you know, when you're standing there and you're thinking this is very amateurish, I shouldn't be doing this. This is outrageous. And then you end up at home and you, oh, well, it's done.
Yeah.
I made it home.
Where did you go?
Well, all over the place. I promise you, went to about 4 or 5 different places. And I do not, each one got worse. What I do remember is, and I've become kind of fanatical about this. I refuse point blank to drive, even if I've had one drink.
Oh, yeah.
So I Uber from my house, no matter, if I think it's going to be, you know, a glass of wine, or if I think it's going to be a big hectic night, it's the same for me.
That's a responsible.
Refuse to drink and drive ever again. Well, it's taken me so long to figure that out.
Hey.
Anyway, it was good. And then Saturday was nice and quiet, actually.
Well, you were recovering.
No. But I feel like I didn't achieve very much this weekend. There were things that I wanted to do that I didn't get done.
Mm.
So that always bothers me. Like when you have a day with zero productivity. I don't think I responded to a single email yesterday. I don't think I even switched on my laptop, not once. Did anyone wake up at 3 a.m. for Game of Thrones?
No.
No.
Why?
Some people do. Some big, big fanatical super fans would.
Nope, that's what catch-up is there for, hey?
Yep.
They'll show it live. Well, live. They'll show it tonight, I think, and then they've got, you know, repeats. But everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, they would. Yeah. They would all be talking about it.
Biggest TV show in the world.
Well, we just need to know who's dying for our death pool to know who's the last man standing.
Exactly. And by the way, what we'll do is, so that we can give people a chance to kind of catch up, we will only do the reveal of who's dead. We'll do the calculations on the Wednesdays.
Okay.
So we don't have to. It gives people enough time that if you didn't see it on Monday or Tuesday, you still have Wednesday. You have Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning we'll reveal the points so that we don't spoil the show for anybody.
But that's fair enough. Wednesday's enough time.
I think so. You don't want to do spoilers too soon after that, because, you know, some people take a day or two to watch. And then there are those people who go, well, I'm going to wait for 5 or 6 episodes, then I can binge all of them in a row.
Mm.
Like, well, I can't help you. Otherwise, we'll be way out of date. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did anybody see that ridiculous video of Trump? I shared it on my Facebook. It's the most ridiculous video, but I love it. So it's just Trump saying the word billions. And he says, have you seen it?
Yeah. No, I
haven't. Billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
And eventually it almost starts sounding like he's not saying billions.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions. And billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions.
That's all he says. Over.
Billions and billions and.
And it's 3 minutes of this.
And billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
And it's young Trump, old Trump, President Trump.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions. And billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
I don't know why this made me laugh, but I kept watching it over and over again.
And billions and billions and billions and billions.
It's got a rhythm to it that is just.
Billions and billions and billions.
And I'm telling you what's going to happen now. It goes on. I can't carry on. It's too maddening. But if you watch it, and you have to watch to the end, you can't help yourself. You watch all the way to the end and you go, why did I. That was a total waste of time.
Yes.
I knew he would just say billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions all the way to the end of a 3-minute video, but I watched the whole thing, sometimes more than once.
Oh, boy.
What's wrong with us? Well, with me in this case.
Sometimes, you know, we're very basic.
And billions and billions and billions and billions and he, it's, that man, there's a, we've got a major problem there. I mean, in the history of humanity, has there ever been, certainly around available best evidence? In other words, you can't tell me Genghis Khan because we don't know Genghis Khan's personality. We know Donald Trump's personality because we can see him in video recordings and clips from the 1970s and 80s. Has there ever been a more narcissistic human being? Has there ever been any man, and it had to be a man, because there's no way a woman would ever think of herself so much to the exclusion of everyone else. Has there ever been a man in history who's been more self-absorbed than Donald Trump? Please try to tell me that you know someone who could beat his. I don't. This guy is totally, totally self-absorbed in everything that he does. And I know there must have been worse people in history. There must have been people who we just don't have more evidence of.
Mm.
but who were probably way more narcissistic and dangerous. But this guy is out there for all of us to see in 2017, and he is just making a meal of it. Am I right?
Yeah, look, I'm trying to think of anybody who could be more narcissistic. No. But we've got 3 hours. Maybe something will come to mind. I was on TV, like one of those ads came on. I think it was an insurance policy ad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they had recorded these mothers and daughters talking about, you know, what they love and value about each other, blah, blah, blah. And one of the statements that they flashed on the screen was, you know, women are so selfless and they never, like, they tend to not put themselves first. They'll put everyone else first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I don't think that that's necessarily the best thing. Like, I wish women could be more self-absorbed.
Yeah,
more arrogant,
assertive and
sometimes
kind of selfish.
Like, you know, that kind of thing for me is one of the reasons that, you know, why we remain on the back foot, so to speak. Like, there are times.
You tend to put others first.
Well, there are times where actually you need to just say, no, right now, screw you.
Yeah.
Because this is about me and it's all about me.
Yeah.
So, I just thought of that when you said that Trump is so self-absorbed.
Totally.
I wish women could actually be more that way sometimes.
But, you know, I had this sort of thinking as well, because one of the other things that I did this weekend was I watched that movie you spoke so highly about, Gareth, The Wizard of Lies, the Bernie Madoff movie.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. I sat there going, how did...
I've got to just qualify. I didn't see it. My sister watched it, and she said to me, you have to watch this
movie. I get that recommendation, though, now. And I would totally...
So I'm going to watch it on catch-up, but then I've... I interviewed someone the other day, Trish, who has a similar story, and we'll be playing out that interview this week. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
But you ask and you wonder, how did one guy do this? And that's the question I still had, because the movie's great. It speaks about, you know, it really does chronicle Bernie Madoff's life and, you know, how he did business and. But it doesn't exactly answer why he began this whole entire Ponzi scheme to begin with.
Well, doesn't he start off by saying, you know, there was really good business and they were doing well, and then people got greedy?
It's a qualifier, but, you know, when they were getting so personal with, you know, his relationships and his sons and his family, I felt like I'd needed more. But to think about it, really, you know, he was married, he had 2 sons.
Yeah.
This was a family as well, and you end up, like, the entire family was screwed over because of this.
Didn't both his sons die?
Yeah.
One of them
committed suicide.
And the other one, yeah, killed himself.
Exactly 2 years after his father was arrested. Yeah, because, like, now you can't do anything, and everywhere you go, the sons were also being blamed. You know, the wife,
sons, didn't they hand him over?
They had to. Technically, they had to. Because even though Bernie did, you know, confront them saying, okay, so here's the thing. It's inevitable. This news is about to go out. For the, you know, past 15 years, I've been lying to people and I've been taking all of their money. And they're like, okay, well, there's nothing we can do right now. We have to hand you over. But
can you imagine having to hand over your own dad to the authorities?
Yeah, that must be such an emotional roller coaster. But did he face any charges? Did he end up
Bernie
going to jail?
150 years.
He's in jail.
150 years.
He's in jail.
He's spending 150 years in there. But then, you know, the movie also reveals certain layers. Like, they didn't. Bernie and his sons didn't have a great relationship.
No.
You know, Bernie kept this 17th floor in the office building, and no one really knew what happened there, nor did anyone really ask, nor did anyone really go to the 17th floor. But the 17th floor was where all the shit went down, where he worked with this guy named Hank on, this guy named Frank, around all of the Ponzi schemes and his sons didn't know anything. His sons headed up different divisions of the company, which Bernie says he intentionally did so that if anything ever happened, his sons technically were not involved in all of the schemes. And nonetheless, the sons were always frustrated about, like, why aren't you promoting me? Why aren't I working more closely with you? Evidently, you don't trust me. Meanwhile, it was because he was trying to protect them. But it's so twisted. So weird. So twisted. Shucks.
Yeah. The fraud totaled $70 billion. billions and billions and billions of dollars.
And all those people who lost their money, were they...
No, they lost their money.
Done. That's it.
How many lives is that ruined? Because, I mean, for some people, that would have been all their savings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the money that they were putting away in the nest for when they retire. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
And the stories that came out of it. Yeah, because I started to research that, you know, people with cancer, people who needed healthcare until
famous
they died.
People, a lot of famous people invested with Bernie Madoff.
Wiesel, the guy who survived a concentration camp. They were like, really? A dude who suffered at a concentration camp and you're making him suffer again?
Oh, here, breaking news. We need to do this properly because there's something that you need to know this morning. It's a Monday and it's a brand new week and there's a lot of things going on. Ooh, and here it is. Well, Itama is not being paid by the Guptas anymore because blackopinion.co.za has been shut down. They have not been paid. The domain has been closed.
Oh.
So the Guptas are now officially not paying Andile Mlitama anymore.
Sure. Well, now he's going to have to go back to the drawing board and find, you know, a new strategy.
Yeah, a new paymaster.
Mm-mm.
A new plantation master. Because now with blackopinion.co.za closing down. I mean, this is very sad, isn't it?
Well, it's sad for him, obviously, for the rest of us. It's always difficult when your source of income dries up or, you know, is cut off.
But, you know, it's a new week. It's a Monday. Started off with a strategy session. Yeah, find someone new.
I think that that's probably it's time for him to reevaluate his life up to now. What does he really stand for? Who are his real friends?
Yes.
Sure.
Seems to me he kind of blows whichever way the wind blows. So good luck, Andile.
Mm.
We will be watching your non-career with great interest. there's a picture of a toilet that we put up for cliffcentral.com this morning. Because it's that time of year when we all get a bum deal, and the picture is of a cold toilet seat.
Oh.
Because that is, for some people, the worst thing about winter, is when you sit down on that ice-cold toilet seat.
Mm.
Hmm? Ain't that horrible?
Like, I wore my dungarees out on Saturday night, and I needed to...
You had your dungarees and your new orange hair.
Yo, I was unstoppable. And then I needed to go to the loo and take it off. I was like, why? Why? It's winter plus taking these off. So I get the cold toilet seat situation.
Did anybody watch tennis over the weekend? Because I watched a little bit of that.
Nah.
A little bit. Venus? No, nobody watched Venus?
Mm-mm.
I didn't watch Venus. I didn't watch Federer.
Muguruza beat Venus and Federer beat Cilic.
Cilic.
That Federer is unbelievable.
I think he's on 19 now.
Mm.
19 Grand Slams.
And 8 Wimbledons.
8 Wimbledons.
As I understand it. That's quite an incredible record.
Jeez.
Is he the greatest tennis player of all time?
It depends who you ask. If you're asking somebody like Ben, who actually is informed and knowledgeable and has stats and that kind of thing, or if you're asking a fan... Where fans are clearly emotional.
Oh, yeah.
And for them, it's about, no, but this one is better than that one. Like, it depends who you ask.
What do they call the Federer fans? They've got like a name. They've got like a group name for all of them.
You mean like the Beehive?
Like the Beehive, yeah. Wow.
I actually don't know what they go by. At some point, wasn't Fed Express... Some like a term associated with Roger Federer.
Yeah, something like, I can't remember what it was. Here's some questions that have come through on the messages this morning, WeChat and WhatsApp and everything else. So we've got, first of all, Graham, who says, how many billions and billions and billions have the Zupta cabinet stolen from us to date? Yeah, it's probably more than Bernie Madoff. Huh? When you think about it, don't you think that's possible?
Sure.
Lot of money. I don't doubt it for a second. I'll bet you that if we add it all up, there's a huge likelihood that it's upwards of 4 or 5 billion rand that's been taken out of South Africa that's been made by those companies. But I'm thumb sucking that amount completely because I wouldn't know what the actual number was. I don't think anybody knows. Morning team, happy Monday. Buddy still recovering from Saturday evening's whiskey drinking. Got drunk as fuck. And then I had a really awesome party on Saturday, but my drunk ass is still awake and making breakfast at 6 a.m. at my sister's house. I even went to church with them.
Oh.
After a long debate, I'm fairly sure I am not the second coming of Christ. Doesn't matter. I got laid for the first time in 2 years. It's the week, baby.
Woo! That was eventful, you know, like a good party, you know, cooking breakfast, going to church, and getting laid. Good for you.
So you're really covering all the bases.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. This is a nice one. In Roald Dahl's autobiography, he writes about being a fag, which is a servant to the prefect in school. And one of his duties was to sit on the toilet seat to warm it up before the prefect used it in the winter.
Yeah, I remember the days of the fags, because, you know, I went to high school in the Cretaceous era. Oh. And when we were in grade 8, we were referred to as fags, and the matric pupil that you serviced was the fag mistress.
Yeah. Well, like, that's actually the terms
that we use.
Let's not be confused about this. This does not in any way, it's not a, we're not talking about the whole gay slur, fag.
No.
You know, it was a term that was used then, back in Mubs' Cretaceous era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mubs and Roald Dahl went to the same school.
Oh, boy.
Wait, but that is a thing to warm up?
Well, there were a lot of duties. So what you would do is if you were a fag, then your prefect would assign you duties. Stupid, often demeaning duties.
Mm-hmm.
Undignified things like having to lay out their clothes or warm the toilet seat or rake up leaves in front of their window or whatever it might be. Something ridiculous that you'd have to do because you were like a servant to that prefect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we ever had that. I've got to be honest. Because we went to boarding school where I went to school. So maybe that's why we didn't. But we didn't have any servants or duties for servants when we were at school. We were just happy to be left alone.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of stuff that we would have to do is you would carry your fag mistress's school bag down to school for her.
Yeah.
You would go and pick up her laundry from the laundry room because, you know, we'd send in our laundry on a specific day of the week, and then you would get to collect it a couple of days later.
Mm.
So it's those kinds of things that they would make us do.
That is bizarre.
You didn't have any of that.
No, well, we had a bit of it, you know, like the carrying of the bags. Mm. There was a specific school entrance where no one was allowed to use that except the matrix.
Yes, we had dumb stuff like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. But you call it dumb until you were in power and you loved it. Loved it.
The oppressed becomes the oppressor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of history's great lessons. That's always what happens.
Ah.
What?
The oppressed becomes the oppressor. Yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly.
Did you just have an aha moment?
Well,
there?
I mean, you know, look at the state of our nation currently. Like,
yep.
That's hitting the nail right on the head right there.
There is a gold cold toilet in Dubai that someone just sent me a picture of. But in Dubai, you'd want a cold toilet.
But I'm bothered by a warm toilet seat. I am bothered by that.
Why?
Because that means someone was there.
Well, no, you get these amazing toilets now that are...
Warm it up.
They have heaters in them. They can blow hot air up your backside and dry you off after you've washed it off with scented water.
Mm.
No, there's stuff that you can do. Like, toilets are evolving in a big way. Don't you? Just because we have ordinary ones doesn't mean that there aren't people in the world who have amazing toilets.
Yeah, okay. I just don't want someone, you know, warming it up for me. I don't want to know that.
You don't necessarily want
to. No. Okay, look at the time.
Oh, my God. It's time for the news.
Look at the time.
We've been talking about cold toilets for about 5 minutes. This is ridiculous. The news is brought to you this morning by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Yes. They've got a Monday special, which you need to take advantage of. You buy one pizza, you get one free.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
And it is Monday. How appropriate. So get out there and get to Colcacchio Pizzeria. Help yourself to this excellent deal. You will be grateful once you have. Mubs, over to you.
¶¶
Yay.
What a pleasant sound. Thank you, Gareth. Deny, deny, deny until you die.
No.
If ever there is something that I will stress that will save you, it's this one line. Deny, deny until you die. It all began over the weekend when the Daily Maverick reported that the president had apparently been offered an amnesty package of $2 billion. 2 billion rand to step down from the office, which, according to the reports, would also see him not have to face a single of those 700 and I don't know how many charges he's standing or he's facing at the moment.
Please tell me he accepted.
Well, Gareth, the ANC's Zizi Kodwa very quickly, without wasting any time, came out guns blazing and dismissed the reports of the exit package. Kodwa labeled the reports as balderdash and fake news, saying that there was no discussion within the ANC of any sort about an exit package for the president. If anything, the ANC's top leadership over the weekend were in the Western Cape, you know, trying to rein in what has become a messy factional battle. So, you know, the ANC very quickly saying, no, that's just fake news. And then according to at least one analyst, that's constitutional law expert Professor Shadrach Guto, he also brushed aside the purported tactics. Saying, well, firstly, the president is well within his rights to be president and remain president and will only step down when he wants to. But secondly, he said there is not a chance in hell that the president would accept such a package, even if it had, if, you know, even if the reports are true that it had been offered to him. Guto said that it would not be in the president's personal interest or nor that of his allies for him to accept the offer and step down. So
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know about it either.
I mean, the whole reason he's stringing out a whole lot of this stuff is so that he can't go to jail. You know, he doesn't want to – the president doesn't want to have to leave the office of president with all those perks and have to end up in a cold jail cell. So I would take it – what a great deal. $2 billion. Are you kidding me?
And more importantly, you won't have to face a single one of the charges that have been –
if that – that happened. Even if it's a rumor, if I were the president, I'd be like – get whoever started that rumor.
Yeah, and make a deal.
Let's do this.
I didn't even think about that. That was an option. Let's make a deal. Well, according to the Daily Maverick, the deal, this 2 billion rand deal for him to step down, is coming from a faction within the ANC that is apparently backing Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa. That's what the Daily Maverick reported over the weekend.
Wow.
This is worrying even more. If this is true, and the reason why I would worry is why doesn't he take the deal? Which means that he's up to something. Like he's not satisfied with what he's done.
He's always up to
planning something more.
He's always up to something.
This isn't just a guy who laughs and let's just, oh, he's just stupid, you know, as some people might think. He's up to something.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's something very suspicious about this.
Why wouldn't you then take it? It's amazing for you, you know?
This is assuming that it is something that was on the table.
Yes.
We don't know for sure. If it wasn't something that was on the table and it was never there, then obviously the president can't take a deal that doesn't exist, in which case all of this discussion is pointless. But if it were, I mean, isn't that a great deal?
No, it really is. I can't see how the president loses here. It's 2 billion. So, I mean, it's always nice to have money. Although I'm pretty sure that the president has racked up
a
lot more than 2 billion at this stage, right? Like money that he's kind of just keeping to the side somewhere. We don't even know where his riches lie at this stage.
He will burn through that very quickly. I mean, how many kids and wives and the debts that he's racked up already? I mean, he's completely incapable of managing money. We know that.
Do we, though?
Yes, we do. From the Shabir Sheikh situation.
I'd really like to know how much money the president has just kind of stashed away somewhere.
Oh, apparently there are accounts in Mauritius, and this is all hearsay, so I can't back it up. But
Do you think it's billions and billions?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know. This is all speculation.
It's all speculation. And Ziziko just says that it's actually all fake news. He says there's no such offer that has been made to the president, even though the Daily Maverick said that offer came from a faction within the ANC itself. So we'll continue to watch the space. And then there was a lot happening within the South African Communist Party over the weekend.
Yeah.
One of the things that they have come out and said is admitted that they are, you know, responsible for the state that South Africa finds itself in, saying, quote, "We know we plunged SA into the crisis that it is in," and seemingly, you know, they seem to think that they owe the country an apology. And so the Deputy General Secretary, Solima Baila, admitting over the weekend that the SACP have filed an affidavit against the president over his controversial cabinet reshuffle earlier this year. He says that the president lied about the reasons for the reshuffle, adding that the movement has always been a truthful one and the National Executive Committee must have the courage to take the president to task. Later in the discussion, Mapaila said that South Africa is owed an apology. He mentioned that by allocating the president platforms in the party to address members, the SACP supported his campaign for the presidency and that they are part of the reason why we find ourselves in the crisis that we do.
Well, that's about right.
That is about right.
But I heard that they might actually contest the elections.
Mm. Yes, Gareth.
Is that true?
Yes, it is true. The SACP also announced that it would contest future elections independently. But what does that mean exactly? I mean, the repercussions for the ANC. Is that going to be a huge impact for them? A huge loss on their part?
I'm not sure that the SACP will get any votes at all. But if they are brave enough to contest the elections on their own for the first time.
That's what they said.
It's more of a loss to the ANC than it is a gain to the SACP. I don't think they're going to get any. You know, if they are actually contesting the elections, it's highly unlikely they'll get any seats in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a huge following. There are apparently 200,000 registered members of that organization, which is not insubstantial. Mm. Maybe it's enough to get them a seat or two. And then they'd be a minority party. And for the SACP, it would probably be a demotion because they used to be one of the resources the ANC would use to get cabinet ministers and intellectuals and policy considerations and advice and general kind of ideological direction from. But I don't know that this is the best decision for the SACP. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I also don't know. Suddenly I wish like tomorrow was Thursday so that justice could come in and just like notify all of us.
No, we'll ask him.
Now there were a couple of people who were speaking at this SACP conference, one of them being the SACP leader Bladen Zimande, who basically described the president's relationship with the Guptas as well as ANC's relationship with the Guptas as embarrassing, saying that it's infuriating to have this immigrant family come here. That is why they say they have lost faith in the president. Also speaking was ANC MP Makosi Khoza. I don't know if you noticed over the weekend, there was some other kind of social media campaign, like a little mini campaign that was started when people started bombarding the police minister with questions of, well, what are you going to do about Makosi Khoza's safety, given that, you know, her life is being threatened? And then I think it was a day later, Fikile Mbalula saying, yes, the police ministry is aware of the threats that Makosi Khoza is facing and that they are doing something about it.
Yeah.
Well, according to Khoza, who was speaking yesterday, she said the police have shown little enthusiasm in investigating a series of death threats against her and other senior political figures, saying that it's shocking that that police haven't made any breakthrough despite having been provided with evidence.
Well, she'll be coming in here. 8 o'clock this morning.
Oof.
So we will speak to Makosi Khoza in the studio at 8 o'clock today.
Fantastic.
We can ask her all about this. All right, that's about all the news we've got time for at the moment. We're going to get to Anthea in a little while for the money shot. Ben, by the way, is only back. When is he back? Is it tomorrow or the next day?
Tomorrow.
I don't know.
Okay, he's back tomorrow.
Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow.
There'll be Ben. Just thinking about tomorrow.
Never mind, it's actually Wednesday. He'll be back on Wednesday.
Oh, it is Wednesday.
Yeah. Right,
well, that was
on Wednesday.
No, you can't keep changing it.
No, we can't. Okay.
All right. Well, there we go. Right now, let's get to the money shot. Everybody loves this because it means that we're about to find out all the things we need to know about our money, even if you don't think you have any. There are always people who have less than you. And trust me, in this economy at the moment, if you have any at all, you're doing very, very well. Here she is, our own Anthea Gardner.
She looks hard for the money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hard for it, honey.
Good morning. How are you, Anthea?
Good morning, Gareth. I am well, thank you very much. Mabali, I have a question. Was that 2 billion rand that they were offering the president to leave?
Yes, allegedly.
Can we not crowdfund it? There are 55 million people in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. Just over 36 rand per person.
Oh,
I'd pay for myself and someone else.
Oh, well, I don't. Who would be opposed to paying 36 rand actually, for the president to actually, kindly step away?
Absolutely would be worth it.
Huh. Huh. See, I was busy reporting on the news and you were busy crunching the numbers like the pro that you do, Anthea. Fantastic.
Wow. That's very impressive. Now, would you take a deal like that if you were a president who looked like you might go to jail one day?
No, because he's getting a lot more ISIS.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
How many? How much?
Billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
All right, okay, all right, Trump. God damn it.
I think Trump's got it right.
Yeah, he's probably going to get billions and billions. Okay, so... last week was really extraordinary, right?
Fantastic week, yeah. For the week, the market was up 3.5%. On Friday, it was up 0.5%.
Billions and billions.
I'm afraid we didn't trade billions and billions on Friday. It was a pretty slow day, actually.
Billions and billions
and billions. Sorry, he's obsessed.
Only $1.2 billion. Dollars traded on Friday. In fact, the volumes in rands have been very low. Every day since the 20th of June has been below 20 billion rand day, which is very unusual. I mean, we're normally at least, I would say, 40%, no, 30% more than that.
Sure, yeah, that's
so
not good.
So it's very quiet on the market at the moment. And I don't really understand why either. I think South Africa seems to have fallen out of favor a bit. Anyway, on Friday, all major indices were higher. Resources had a nice little bounce after the mining charter was suspended, which has obviously drove all the resource shares much higher. And, of course, the rand went on a proper trot. And then just for the record, when the mining charter was released, this new one, the rand was trading at 12.63. It's now 13.03, so still 40 cents off the pre-charter kind of strength level, about 3% lower. So I had a look to see if it was just us or if it was emerging markets, and I think you'll be interested in this. So the Russian ruble is down 2%, whereas we're down 3% in that same period since the release of the mining charter. So we're worse than the Russian ruble.
Okay.
The Turkish lira was flat. The Indian rupee was flat to slightly positive. The Mexican peso was positive, stronger by 2.5%. And the Brazilian real was stronger by 3.3%. So we really have underperformed emerging markets, generally speaking. I mean, we've underperformed, our currency has underperformed the Brazilian real by 6.3% in that month.
God,
and it's
really?
Been only a month.
And what are they doing right that we're not doing? And what are we doing wrong?
In a sentence, they're impeaching their presidents.
Yep.
And sending the corrupt ones to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Really? Just like that.
It really is that simple.
That's what
hey?
We need to do, huh?
Yeah. There's a clue in that.
Wow.
All right. So the stronger rand, of course, had the banks rallying. The index was up 4.6%, which is so nice for a change. These poor banks really have been suffering since the downgrade. Even the retailers, which have been the biggest laggards since the downgrade, have had a good run. Mr. Price was up 4%. Truers was up 3.2%. And even Woolworths, which had put out a fairly disappointing trading statement last week, was up 1.5% on the day on Friday. And then, of course, you can imagine stronger rand. Despite the stronger rand, I should say, the rand hedges reacted very well. Naspers was up 1%. But you know what it is? It's not that they were rand hedges. It's more this positive news flow coming out of the country and that things are being controlled, I guess. Anyway, so for the week, Naspers was up 9.5%. Can
That's
you believe
incredible.
That? Mm-hmm. it's now above 2,700 rand per share. So all that panicking I did a couple of weeks ago, I can, it's fine now. It's all okay all of a sudden. But you know what it is. You just can't time these things. So you can't, you know, we always have this discussion. So when Naspers was 2,800 or in fact might have been 2,700, you were saying, should we sell? And then when it went to 2,500 and you're going, see, we should have sold. But now it's back at 2,500. You don't know when to sell. You kind of have to do the homework, do the fundamentals and trust that your vision or that your calcs are right and that the share will rally.
Well, you've got to hope so. And also you've taught me that there's no point in looking at these things short term. You actually have to forget about the fact that it's going to go up and down, because really I suppose you could have sold when it was around 2000.
It did hit 2,800, I think. Yeah.
No, but I mean, you could have sold when it was at a much lower number in the last couple of weeks, and then you wouldn't have got the gains
the
of last week.
The 10% rally. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You can't time the market.
Yeah. You have to just stick to your guns and hope that you've made the right decision.
Once you've done the work. Yeah.
Well, you do the work for us.
Okay, once I've done the work.
Right. Okay.
And then bits of other company news. Richemont announced that their head of watchmaking, a guy called George Kern, suddenly resigned. Now, why is this such a big deal? I think there's I think it's a couple of things. So Richemont are going through this restructuring, and suddenly there seems to be a shift or a recovery in kind of the luxury goods sector. And when that, and not only was he head of watchmaking, in fact, he was also responsible for digital and marketing. And when you're going through this restructuring and this recovery, what you really want is this kind of guy there, kind of driving the transformation or driving the process. He was the youngest CEO within Richemont in 2000 when he got appointed at the age of 36.
Wow.
Which I think is quite something to be head of such a big conglomerate, really. He comes from when they bought IWC and what was it, Jaeger LeCoultre? He was bought as part of that deal. And so they made him head of the company.
And now he's gone.
Yeah, the share was down 87 basis points, so 0.87% on Friday because of it. So, I mean, I think will it hugely impact the share? I hope not, because we do own it.
All right.
But it is a negative and not great, because not only that, they didn't have a successor for him.
Doesn't sound like a lot of good planning on their part. They should have had a backup plan.
They definitely should have.
Tell me about Brian Joffe's Long for Life.
Oh, yes. So, you know, 2 weeks ago they announced that they're buying Hold Sport for 2.6 billion rand, which was an 11% premium to where the share was trading. And then on Friday they confirmed, because we suspected they would, that they're buying Sorbet.
Huh.
But listen to this. The amount is only 116 million rand, which seems almost small considering there are 200 Sorbet outlets. Is it cheap or not at 11.5 times price earnings ratio?
So how does that – because these are franchise stores, right?
That's right, yes.
So how does that affect the individual franchisees?
Oh, it's business as usual unless Brian Joffe can do something in the industry to make it more efficient. So I don't think a lot of these stores don't look very profitable to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of them are not at all profitable. In fact, I suspect they're losing money. There's 200 outlets. And one of the other problems is that actually the Sorbet stores don't have, territorial restrictions. So you could be a franchisee and open a store right next door to another franchisee.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why you'd want to, but you could potentially.
You could.
Mm. And that's kind of half the problem, I think. I mean, 200 outlets, that's quite a lot, I think.
That's a fortune of outlets. And you say you don't think they're all profitable.
Oh, definitely not.
I've seen these Sorbets pop up everywhere, Mubs. You must have seen them as well.
Sure.
And they seem to be nice stores. I mean, people like them, people support them. But I can't imagine it's a luxury thing. And in this current economy, I don't know that they're going to be on the up and up.
I'm not sure either. And I know that the product markup is quite steep compared to the other products, you know, where you can get the same product somewhere else. So, and I think people are aware of it and people watch their pockets in this kind of environment.
Right.
You know, I think with Kevin Hedewick now kind of joining Joffe, what was it, a couple of months ago already? I'm almost looking for them to buy a food franchise.
Yeah.
So they've got a sporting, they've got a beauty therapy. Mm-hmm. I think for Kevin Hedewick, it would make sense if they bought a food outlet or franchisee.
Do you have any earmark that you think you would want to buy if you were them? Sitting with a pile of money and expertise?
Sarah and I have had this discussion, actually. And so there's probably like there's Simply Asia, there's Ocean Basket, there's a couple out there that could make good franchise stores, actually, that aren't owned by the big conglomerates already.
All right. Well, there you see. That's why you ask Anthea these questions, because you can tie her down to her answer now, and then you can always see in the future whether or not it would have played out that way. It's fun. This is a fun game. It's our game of speculation.
Yeah.
All right. Just quickly tell me about the there's something you figured out here. Of the 25 S&P 500 companies that are reported, 19 have already beat analyst expectations. That's in the US, obviously.
Yeah, so that started last week.
Yeah.
So US reporting season started last week. The downside was that on Friday, some of the banks reported not that great, unfortunately. JP Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo reported last week, and unfortunately, not that great. But the other companies have done particularly well. Expectations in the U.S. are now that for this earnings season, that earnings are going to be 8% higher than they were last year this time, which is a fantastic growth number, especially when the economy is growing below 2%. So I think we're all very excited. The one thing I did also calculate was the S&P 500 is now trading at an 18 times earnings multiple, where in the last 12 months, last 12 months earnings multiple, and then their long-term multiple is 15 times. So actually the S&P, despite this 8% increase expectation, I think the S&P is looking a little bit expensive, but I think they're pricing in this future growth.
No. I'm curious as to how do you see this trend continuing, or do you think that there is a little bit of a bubble developing somewhere?
So I don't think it's a bubble. I think the US has still got some growth left in it. It is a bit expensive, so I am nervous, but the growth has been priced in. So as long as they can keep this kind of 19 out of 25 beating expectations, we're okay. As long as that ratio is intact, we're fine.
All right, are we going to have a nice week this week like we had last week?
I hope so, because I just checked my indices now. Asia's green again.
Good.
So that's very exciting.
That's a good indicator. All right. Wonderful. Let's hope we've got some great news by the end of this week.
All right.
And then you're going away sometime soon.
Yes, I'm going away this weekend coming. So next week I'll be in London. Right. I'll call you from there on Wednesday. I've got time on Wednesday morning. How's that?
Brilliant.
But otherwise, Henry and Celia will stand in for me.
Fantastic.
And then my brother's in town this week as well, so Henry will stand in for me on Wednesday.
All right.
All very exciting in my life
of
a sudden.
Good. And let's hope we make billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions.
Thank you, Anthea.
Thanks,
guys. Billions and billions and
this is your new theme song for this week.
Billions and 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 billions.
I actually feel like we should play some Motown this morning. Don't you? Don't you feel like some of that?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't mind some of that.
Alright, what do you feel like? Come on, give me something you want. Let's do this, come on. Supremes?
I was actually gonna go the Stevie Wonder route, but
I love it. Don't say a thing. I'm gonna get you some Stevie Wonder. What you deserve. You need a good morning, and there's nothing better than little Stevie Wonder for you. Oh, yeah. All right, let's go, everybody. Let's get your morning started properly. It is just after 7. Take it away, Stevie. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Central.com.